the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Good morning. As Joe said, my name is Jack. Does anybody recognise these guys? No? Anybody? Ghostbusters, thank you. Ghostbusters is a film that came out quite a few years before I was born, actually. Sorry if that makes you feel old. So I've only really seen it once when I was young, but one thing that I always remember is the theme song. It's got a really famous theme song. Let's see if you can remember it too. So if there's something strange in the neighbourhood, who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
Excellent, well done. So the song goes on like that, gives you a situation where something spooky is going on. The songwriter asks the question, who are you going to call? And the answer is always the same. And I couldn't help, I don't know about you, I couldn't help thinking about the Ghostbusters theme song when I read the passage that we're looking at. Because James kind of does a similar thing. He presents us with a series of situations and he says, what are you going to do about it? And the answer is pretty much always the same. So let's see if it works. I've kind of written my own version of the Ghostbusters song using James 5. And we're going to give it a go. So if you're having troubles and you're feeling down, what are you going to do? Well done. If life is great and you're full of joy, what are you going to do?
Stop praying.
Excellent. If you're really ill and you're stuck in bed, what are you going to do? Call the elders to come and visit you, anoint you with oil and start praying. Okay, I kind of got stuck on that bit. The point is, though, what James is saying in this start of the passage is, whatever situation you're in, whatever situation you find yourselves in, prayer is the correct response. It's never a bad time to pray. Whether it's good times, bad times, that pretty much covers everything. Prayer is the correct response. So let's look in a bit more detail at those three situations that James tells us we should pray in. Firstly, we should pray in times of suffering. This is often the most natural time that we turn to prayer. We've heard from a few people this morning already about times where there's been a decision to make, like Kristen and Tom, when they had to decide where to go. And they felt that God gave them the answer, and that's where they went. Or if it's something that you want to happen, like the daughter moving back home, okay? And God gives you the answer through Scripture that he promises you that that's going to happen, and then it does, okay? So sometimes God answers our prayers really clearly when we're going through times of suffering and times of difficulty. There's also times when God doesn't take us out of our suffering. He doesn't make things all better. If we look back into the start of the letter of that James writes, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. So James clearly knows that God's not going to take away our suffering every single time, but he tells us that when we go through suffering, we can be with God in that suffering, and that's why it's really important that we pray in those times of suffering so that we know that God is with us and we're not alone in it. He can give us words from the Bible. He can give us peace that passes understanding. Secondly, we should praise in good times. Again, we've done some of that this morning. We've sung songs of praise. We shouted out words of thanks after the first song. It's really good to do that on a Sunday. It's also really good to do that in the rest of our week. I know for me, and for Chris apparently, that's often the time when we forget to pray. When things are going well, when life is good, we easily forget about God. Moses actually knows that as well. He said it to the Israelites. He said, when you go into the good land, flowing with milk and honey that God has promised you, don't forget about the God who saved you out of Egypt. It's much easier when we're in Egypt, when we're going through struggles, to remember to pray. It's much harder when life's great and everything's good. But it's really important that we do remember to give thanks and to praise. I'm somebody who finds that difficult, like Chris. For me, it's about having good habits. It's about choosing a time each day when you're going to make time to praise. That might be listening to worship music and singing along when you're doing the washing up, or when you're going for a run, or when you're in the car on the way to work. For some people who don't particularly like singing, it might be keeping a journal of all the good things that God is doing in your life, writing down the things that God is answering your prayers, and then going back and reflecting on that and saying thanks every evening. It's making sure we remember to praise God in the good times. Finally, James talks specifically about praying for healing. And this is probably the trickiest part of the passage because it looks a little bit like a formula that we can follow, and it promises that God will heal us. As long as we call the elders, we get them to anoint us with oil, which just means to set you apart for God. and pray a prayer of faith, or pray faithfully, that we will be healed. Now, many of us know that that is possible. Many of us in this room have experienced times where we've prayed for God's healing, and it's happened, and we've got it. But we also know from our experience that sometimes we pray for healing, and we're not healed. So that's where this passage is quite tricky, because we think, well, why when we pray for healing, if God's promised that we'll be healed, do we not get healed? There's lots of different interpretations of this passage, lots of different, there's been lots of words written about it, about what it really means and why sometimes we pray for healing and it doesn't come. I think the key is to look at what it says about praying faithfully and what praying faithfully means. Because we sometimes think praying faithfully means just praying and believing really hard that it's going to happen. But I don't think that's quite what praying faithfully is all about. I think if we look to Jesus as an example, which is usually good, that will help us. So what does it mean to pray faithfully? Well, before Jesus faced his greatest suffering, before he went to the crucifixion, he prayed this: Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. See, Jesus gave a request to God. He asked God to remove the suffering. Just like we can come to God and ask him to take away our suffering, to heal us, to make us better. But ultimately, he put his faith and his trust in God to do what he wanted to do, what his will was. Jesus didn't demand anything of God, but he said, yet not my will, but yours be done. And when we pray faithfully, we give our life, we give our situation, we give our health and our sickness over to God and ask him to do what he wants to do. Now, sometimes he will heal us. Sometimes he chooses not to. And like we've already looked at, sometimes James says we will go through times of trial and suffering, and there is a reason for that. It might lead to greater faith, greater perseverance. Whatever it is, we just need to trust in God and pray faithfully that his will be done. Finally, James doesn't just talk about praying by ourselves, like Becky likes to do. He also talks about praying all together. And it's really important that as a church community, when we're at church, when we're in home groups, when we're together meeting, that we pray together and with each other. He talks about confessing our sins to each other. It's really important that we can be open and honest and share our weaknesses and our struggles and our failings with each other and receive prayer for those things, okay? Because it really does make a huge difference when other people pray for us as well. I've seen that in my life. I'm sure lots of you have seen that as well. When we pray for each other, it makes a really, really big difference. So we're going to do that in a minute. Joe's going to explain how we're going to do that. We're going to pray for each other. And we're going to pray and faithfully that we're going to see results. So just finishing with the words on the scroll again. The earnest prayer, that means we've got to come to God honestly, tell him how we feel, tell him what our requests are with an open heart. The prayer of a righteous person. See, the righteous person is the person who has submitted their life to God, who has given over their will and have asked for God's will to be done. So when our prayers are honest and our prayers are aligned with the will of God, because we've submitted to him, we will see great power and wonderful results from that. I believe that. Do you believe that? Yes. Well, good. Let's do that then. Joe's going to come and explain how we're going to do that now.